You want your...
You don't want to wear these?
Maybe halfway through. Hi, everyone. My name's James. It's really good to be here. I really wish everyone got the experience of seeing what I get to see standing here today, which is all these people in front of me committed to their recovery from the effects of the family disease of alcoholism, all varying lengths of time in Al-Anon, to the longest long-timer standing here or up here handing a book to the maybe the shortest newcomer. Before I get started, I want to thank the committee, Heather, who I've gotten to know in the last year, and Lewis. Beth kicked it off last night with a great lead. It was really awesome to hear her, so let's give her a... Because I'm a product of generational alcoholism, it's great to see the Alateens involved. Not something I personally participated in, but I have siblings that went a couple decades ago, and just have great reverence for what this program offers, what it's done for me personally, and the impacts and the changes it's provided in my life. Also want to thank the AA co-chairs for having us. Thanks for putting on a great convention. It's really touching, so thanks. I think it's safe to say that when I came to, like, the coming to Al-Anon was, like, not a good day, right? When I got here, this wasn't in the cards, right? Like, standing in a room full of what I would say is predominantly women, showing, like, getting, like, spiritually exposed and vulnerable, those are not the hallmarks of at least my experience in generational alcoholism. I didn't even know I came from generational alcoholism when I got here, right? I just know that I was 31 years old. Life was really hard. I kept having the same sorts of relationships, both with friends and romantically, and I was just really out of options. It was really hard. It was exhausting. If you would have asked me that when I was new or even before I came to Al-Anon, I would have been like, no, everything's good. You know, I just got to get, it was all about what I could do to fix my life. And man, that younger person or younger version of me was really struggling. And I'm not today as much. Not that those tools and some of those survival instincts aren't still alive and well in me. But I'm just forever indebted for Al-Anon being here, for me not having to create it, for when I had that desperate, lonely, open my mouth, said the right but wrong words to the right but wrong person that knew about what it was like to be affected by alcoholism and knew how to, like, listen, knew how to ask questions, be curious, kind of came from, like, a soft and gentle place, like a relaxed place. It was different, because that's not how I was, that's not what I experienced. I can still be like that today. I'm not up here because I've, like, figured anything out. I'm in the process of growing and expanding. Most of the time I experience significant and tremendous hope and space in my life, but that's not always the case, you know? Recently, been in a lot of fear. It hasn't been a lot of fun. Felt kind of small and isolated again. But thankfully, over the time I've been in Al-Anon, which is over 11 years now, my feet have kind of, I don't want to say been trained, but I just keep coming. It's not like, I wanted to be better by Tuesday when I got here. It was like, okay, you guys gave me the answers. They're on the wall. Get a sponsor. I know how to be a good student. I know how to hammer success. And I couldn't have told you any of that when it was happening, but I know how to do that stuff because in our literature, right, it talks about the impact and the effects of generational alcoholism. And so, I'm forever grateful. And it's a spoken thing, but more of it's an experience thing. And part of that experience is an internal thing that hopefully you get to experience if you interact with me. It's not always like that, but a lot of times it's in the actions that I take or don't take. Because I do service, but I have a tendency to, like, overextend and run myself ragged. And that's been an interesting aspect of me and the effects of alcoholism to explore, not by myself, but with a sponsor, which has been awesome. which was super challenging because I'd heard about a sponsor and I have family in the program, so I kind of knew about it, but I also had some like external experience professionally with a sponsor, and what I owed them was very different than what you do here in Al-Anon, and that was a learning journey for me. So yeah, it's great to be here. Again, I'm inspired by everyone in this room and the commitment to the recovery. So I'm the oldest of four, I'm from Northern California, and I thought we had an idyllic life, right? But the longer I'm in Al-Anon, the more I do the steps, try to practice the traditions, engaging at like group and outside of group level, and doing things that aren't my favorite, right? Like speaking in front of you all again, exposing myself is not like high on my list of things I want to do. That being said, like in my professional life, we don't talk about specifically, but I'm used to talking in front of people, and this is way different. Like this is so nerve-wracking in a sense, but I also know like, man, I get to grow and I just get to share. My parting words from my sponsor were bless, don't impress, which is always, he just always seems to say the right thing. And then my home meeting is Mondays in Malibu at 12:30 to 2. Yes, it's my favorite meeting. When my circumstances change, I'm not sure I'm gonna be able to get there regularly because a lot of times people work during the day. But I called our resident long-timer. There's no such thing as that, but she's there every week. I've gotten the pleasure to get to know her. I think she just passed 60 years in here. I get to give her rides to meetings. We celebrated her anniversary recently. I got to go and like love on her at group level. It was a Al-Anon fellowship gathering. And it was just so beautiful, right? Like we just have such a great friendship. And she said, James, it's a meeting, you know, Carrie, ask God to walk in the room with you. And I was so excited slightly nervous to do this that I forgot to do that. So I went outside a couple of times and did what was suggested, because that's how I learn here, right? My brain, my survival instincts tell me I know what I'm doing, I know how to do this, do it your way, that'll keep you safe. And there's some truth in that, but there's a lot of like more space and more relaxed space in my experience by working the Al-Anon program, that other options are available, I have more choices, and I'm really grateful for that today. It's really amazing. So I don't write this stuff down. I just kind of lean into my experience. Like I said, I'm from Northern California, the oldest of four. And the way I dealt with what I wouldn't have identified as family alcoholism was like, I was always mitigating my folks' fights. I always kept the house clean. When silent scorn was happening, which was typical, I was mitigating that stuff, trying to assess. Because what I see today is I've just been really anxious and uncomfortable and felt unsafe most of my life. And I've masked it with like, in Survival to Recovery, it talks about like being a great citizen, being excellent at your job, being a star athlete. I've done all those things. And they don't have the lasting impact in my experience. Because they're based in self and like my best plans and designs. In that home, we were exposed to a higher power. We went to a building. When I came into Al-Anon, I was slightly more open-minded to it, but hated it. Because I was like, it was just so confusing, right? Like, we say all this stuff in that building, and then once we're in the car, it's like everyone hates each other. We're talking over each other, you know. Like, parents are sharing stuff to kids that are inappropriate, you know? And it's really fair to say I got here really mad at, like, the immediate people that raised me. Really mad and angry. And in a sense, I was a victim, but that victimhood was affecting me, like, well into adulthood, right? Like, it was like a repetitive circular tape. And so I really did the best I could. I'm pretty gentle with myself today. I met with my sponsor on Friday, I guess that was yesterday, and we were talking about learning ways to express my anger, because one of the things that was taught in my home is you don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. You know, if you're angry, just be grateful, right? And there's a lot of truth in that, right? Like, if I'm resentful or angry, it is good to be grateful. But I bypassed, like, processing or communicating any of that stuff. And so, like, I realized today, and this is, again, we share our experience, strength. This is my experience. If you don't relate, I understand that, like, I'm not everyone's cup of tea. I used to want to be everyone's cup of tea. I shifted and morphed in myself as much as I could. But I poisoned myself by not acknowledging what's going on, right? And in our, I think in Hope or Courage to Change in the last couple of days, it talked about that, right? Like, I don't need to act out on it, but I never even acknowledged it. And I hold myself with a lot of grace and space for that. Because that really, I mean, that sucks. Like, I don't like that. And it's hard, right? It's hard. And I can say that with you comfortably today, knowing that's not leading my life. And it's not leading my life because of Al-Anon, right? Like, I come to Al-Anon to hear Al-Anon. There's lots of other helpful things in the world, but we have the primary focus, right? Like, I do other things, but Al-Anon is like the house I live in. It's the studs, the walls, and the roof. And everything else I put in there is a direct result, or like direct relationship, a byproduct of coming to Al-Anon. And it was just really challenging. So some of the other things I like to do is like work. I remember, like, to get away from my home, it wasn't uncommon for me in high school to be gone for 30 hours on a weekend working, right? Just thinking, like, if I just get ahead and I did, you know, all these things to survive. And, you know, the next best thing is once you're free, like, you're able to go to school. I came down here and went to school in Los Angeles, and I just came with the tools that I had in that home, right? And I recreated a lot of the same kind of dynamics, not knowing it, out of survival. Hard to get too close to people. It was painful, like, having conversations. So it just felt really small when I living here, right? Like, I'm in LA and it's just really, really small. And challenging, really challenging. And trying, I would say in that period is when I tried to like develop a relationship with the opposite sex. And that's what drove me into Al-Anon, right? Like, those repeated attempts. Different faces, similar attributes, but me just forcing my will. And it was because I can see it today, and that's kind of what my sponsor and I were talking about yesterday, is just trying to, like, fix a wound that's inside of me that really I'm kind of fighting it generationally. Like I said, it was like it was their fault. They were not home. And it's an uphill battle, to say the least. I don't do that today as much because of Al-Anon, and I'm going to get into my recovery here in a little bit, because it's not just because I came and sit in the meetings, right? Like, there's been a lot of effort and consistent showing up and being uncomfortable to have these things change. But I'm trying to have these relationships, and I'm a runner, right? Things get hard, and it's just like I don't have a lot of fight. I don't know how to cope. And this isn't me beating myself up. This is just me being like, hey, here's who James is, or was, and can be if I stop coming here. Because I get away from Al-Anon for a little bit, and those coping strategies or lack thereof or survival tactics, they're just like kind of hanging out, right? Like, they're growing. I think in understanding ourselves, it talks about very often the alcoholic is unaware that they're sick. And that only a spiritual solution is going to help them. That's been my experience in here, right? Like, I don't think I'm sick. I just think if my parents did what I wanted, my brother would behave, my sisters just listened, you know, we put everything away, you never talked back, you did exactly what I said without me telling you anything, right? Not communicating, you know, I'll be okay. And that's what I took into those trying to, like, build a partnership and walk the road and, like, those are things I want, but I don't know how to discuss what I want, you know? There are a lot of wonderful things I learned in my family of origin. Because of Al-Anon, I find it very hard, because I'm not a victim anymore, but I find it very hard to be mad at my family, right? That does not excuse the things that happened. They are individual, autonomous people. They are responsible for their own behaviors. But as I aged and came out into the world, I'm responsible today for the things that I want in my life. And Al-Anon, the meetings, working the steps, again, the tradition, have made it safer for me to like kind of gently poke and prod, right? Like I felt like I got to Al-Anon like tight and I didn't know how to have fun. You know, having fun was super challenging because I was always about the business of like, I just need to grow up. I just need her. You know, I just need that job. I need X in my bank account. And yeah, you all showed me something different, right? Those things are okay. But the real magic for me is like what happens when I do these things. And the experience I get to have, that was one of the things that jumped out to me last night. Like, faith is great, but experience for me is like what I get to have in my relationship. My girlfriend's here today. I probably should have acknowledged that at the beginning. The love of my life, it's fantastic, super supportive. During that period when I was dating, even into my 30s, right? Like 1 to 3 months was my sweet spot for relationships, and the emphasis was on 1 month. And, you know, I mentioned like when things got hard, it was like just out, I'm out. And that's really, it's led me to where I'm at today. I'm very grateful for that, but it's also like there's a sadness there, right? And so after school, I think like, oh, hey, let's go be a professional athlete over there. And so I go across the country and that doesn't like really work, right? Like I'm a mess. I don't know how to interact with people. I'm on this like, I would say earthly drive to get the material in my life and like the life things and just desperately alone on the inside and not having no outlet, right? I said I was exposed to like a building where they talked about maybe religious things, but also spiritual things. But that was left way behind. And I just was like headlong assault, you know, I'm gonna build my tank and I'm gonna just go to life, like go through life. And yeah, that didn't work. And I end up moving a couple more times and I end up back where I'm from, up in the Bay Area. And I have the job, I'm having more relationships of the short variety, and I start talking to this guy, right? And he's comfortable. He like, I say stuff, and then there's like a pause after. He's not like jamming his fear on me, his thoughts, his questions, right? I'm like, dude, you don't like respond. He's like, yeah, it's called listening, James. And I was like, it made me really uncomfortable because it was just like a lot of chatter for me and it just had to come out because I was so like, I don't know that I would be described as not wound tight today, but I was definitely really wound tight and unaware of it. Now I'm at least kind of aware of it. And, you know, this happened a couple weeks in a row, right? And I didn't really know the guy. We kind of crossed paths through a mutual friend. And I had another one of those relationships. And I said, and I just looked at him, I was like, dude, I don't know. I need help. I don't know what you're doing. Everything I'm trying. And at this point, for the previous 5 years, like I had been doing work on myself. I had developed a prayer life. I had been meditating. So maybe if I hadn't been doing those things, who knows if I would have been able to at least like probably mistakenly like reveal myself for a second and then clamp back up. And he said, yeah, I go to this thing called Al-Anon. And then it like hit me and I'm like, wait a minute. I was a sophomore in college and I get this phone call and one of my, it's like, surprise, he's an alcoholic, he's going to rehab, and I'm going to the, you guys should come up, you grab your brother and come up and we're going to go to his rehab. And in 02, I was introduced to some form of a family group, but in more of a like a facility aspect. And I just remember, and this all flooded back to me when this was happening, and I just remember being in that meeting, being like super proud, but also being like, oh, this is why stuff's been so weird and uncomfortable in my family. Alcoholic. But when I went to that meeting, I was like, great, I'm gonna go back and, you know, do what college students do and go about my life, because their experience didn't get on me, right? Like, this stuff, yeah, okay, cool, you guys are crazy, but it has not affected me. Just like totally blinders on. And I didn't connect all that. I just remember being like, oh yeah, like I've got parents in recovery. And when I was talking to my buddy, and this was like 2013, yeah, towards the end of 2013, it was like, it was more about the relationships. And he's like, hey, here's some literature, you know? Not like a pamphlet or a newcomer's. He handed me Survival of the Recovery. And that's not light reading if you're new or a guest or not an Al-Anon. Like, that is like right into the deep end, like. And I've read it by myself, which we don't give suggestions. That just, I don't know that I would. I'm glad I had that experience, because I think it just kept the uncomfortability just like right at the forefront, like glued to my eyes. And then I think it was like 2, maybe 3 weeks later, and I'm not a reader, right? Like I'm not like actively, like that behavior of asking someone for help is not like innate in me, because the way the disease, I'm like scared of you, and I think I can kind of speak okay, but most of the time I'm deathly afraid and shy, particularly with women. Which is why Al-Anon's been so great, because a lot of the meetings, and I'll get into this in a minute, a lot of the meetings were women, and I didn't know how to relate, because the primary woman in my life, although she had changed a lot in Al-Anon, wasn't as dependable, right? And I'm getting more to that. I read that book, and he's like, hey, Saturday morning, 10 a.m., 85 in Union, San Jose. And I went to the meeting, like, again, just desperate, like out of options, like had all the girls I thought I needed, all the external stuff, but just spiritually deadened. And when I say all the girls, I mean like dated lots of women one at a time, I want to be clear. That didn't come out exactly the way I thought it might have. And I remember going in there, showing up right on time, and then exiting, right, and being like, great. Like, I got what I needed. In 2004, another aspect, and again, I kind of bounce a little, so I appreciate you walking this with me. As a byproduct of parents going into recovery, I got the Hope for the Day book. Like, mom got into literature. Why is this suitcase in the garage? What, you know, what is this? Read this. And I just remember I started reading it when I was praying and meditating and just relating so much, but not wanting to tell any of you, not wanting to admit it, thinking like, oh, I got Al-Anon, like I'm reading, right? And it's osmosis. You don't do anything, you just read and understand and you'll be able to apply it when the situations arise. That did not work. This is all hitting me as I'm in this meeting and I go and I leave. And then, my buddy didn't ask. He didn't follow up. He wasn't like, hey, dude, you coming back? And then the next week I said, hey, you going to that? Yeah, it's kind of like a regular for me. So I started going, and the meeting was smallish. It was in an oval, and people were just sharing openly. Now, my experience in Al-Anon is we're all at different stages. We all have different moments, and we're all human. So no one's perfect. I wanted perfect 50 years of Al-Anon out of everyone's mouth at all moments. Right, I didn't want to hear people like process at group level. And I remember telling, he's like, dude, that's part of the journey here though, right? Like we do bring our problems to our sponsors, but we bring in our solutions to the meeting, but there's no like introductory packet when you come into Al-Anon to tell you how to do this, you know? Hopefully meetings are healthy, and that meeting was healthy from what I recall. And I think I really started to soften because I was so desperate and isolated. And I just kept going. And then kept going, the meeting started to grow a little. I guess meetings can kind of get bigger and smaller. And then we started going to lunch. And it was like me and another dude and then all these ladies. And they're always older. So I was 31 when I came in, and I'm 42 now. But I was 31 then, and I was just like, man, this kind of sucks. Like, yet, these women are talking about stuff that to that point I only really attributed to the female species. Right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm not proud of that. But like, I was like, how do they, like, I'm just super confused. And we're going to meetings. And then eventually, the good student in me kicks off. And I was like, I looked at my buddy. I go, I need a sponsor who's married, and I need him now. And he gives me two phone numbers, and I pick one and I call it, and I need a sponsor, and he said, okay. And at this point, it was like maybe 2 months in Al-Anon, and I'm getting ready to have, I had some physical issues as a result of Al-Anon, or as a result of the untreated family disease. Not, well, actually, I probably panicked at times, so those are more mental issues, but no, prior to Al-Anon, I just wasn't taking care of myself, right? Self-care. Like, I got to Al-Anon wearing shoes that were too short and too narrow. Like, that's really sad. Like, I was just jamming my feet in. It's kind of funny to me today, but I was like, man, you just were so out of touch. I was physically running from my feelings. Like, running to the point where my ankle was blown out. I was in a walking boot when I came to Al-Anon, right? And like the meditation, the prayer, the physical stuff, the having maybe been exposed to hope for today, having seen my mom change so drastically, right? Because there are like these unsaid spoken rules in the family disease, and when one person changes, in my experience, the family changes. I just remember like, you can't act like this. Like she learned to like I would say something, like attempting to goad or engage her to engage me. And she'd just be like, you might be right. And that of all the Al-Anon sayings drives me the most nuts. To this day, I don't really like saying it because it seems kind of passive aggressive. I'm like physically, and I'm asking this guy to sponsor me, and I end up at his house, and I sat down and I just started crying. Right, we had Paths for Recovery. It was like our first one-on-one meeting. My experience in that type of environment is like, again, under the guises of, you know, we bring our solutions to the meeting and our problems are, there was not gonna be a lot of bull crap. I like kind of am obvious. I wear it on my sleeves and my chest. I don't do a good job. That's actually not true. I'm pretty good at lying. But in a vulnerable state, it's like so obvious something's wrong. And yeah, I mean, he just kind of looked at me and said, yeah, man, I'm available. I got some boundaries, you know. My experience with boundaries in the family disease was like you cross it and you're out, right? One of the generational effects for us is there's lots of, and there was an argument and they haven't talked in 20 years, right? And you didn't answer the way I wanted. Now I'm not going to talk to you for a week. And I'm not really that proud to say I do that. Even today, a lot of my inventories are like, oh, I'm upset with so-and-so, I'm gonna move out of the state. You know, like in my relationship, learning to communicate about the good things, the things I'm scared of. My instinct is I gotta get out of here. But today, I'm with someone who can like, be like, oh, how might we work on that? Oh, I hear you. Like, that is so, like, back to the unsafe, that is so safe, right? Not like, I got to get my things and I'm out of here. That does not mean my relationship is my sponsor, but I get to practice the things that I started that night with that gentleman. He was on his chair, I was on his couch, and we got to talk about the effects. And a lot when I was new was just everyone else. They did this, they did that, you know, again, the physical expression of wearing shoes that were too short and too narrow was manifested by like a nth degree in how I communicated, right? Like my emotions. I had no, just out of touch. very much a human doing, right? Just because I had never spent any time looking. A lot of my practice has been, where am I falling short? Where am I wrong? Beat the crap out of myself. You know, I'm not good enough. And that is not completely gone, but it's definitely been a part of my journey of a lot of engagement with my sponsor and fellows, men and women, who I've developed relationships with, both in the San Jose area where I started and now down here in Los Angeles the last, I guess I've been here almost over 5 years now. It's been a kind of an interesting 5 years. I think y'all might agree with that. Not the most preferable for me, just because I need this. There are lots of tools, just like there are lots of choices, but this side conversation, yeah. So my sponsor and I started the steps, and again, I wanted to be better by Tuesday. He wasn't available by Tuesday. It was like, hey, we can meet like once a week. You know, I'll see you at a meeting. Don't be offended if I don't call you back. I have a life. And that's where we got to like start to explore. He suggested I continue the prayer and meditation, that I perhaps pick up another daily reader. Not that I need to do them all, but of course, the good student, the striving to be the perfect, you know, I want to be a 10 out of 10, everyone's cup of tea, God, he should be speaking at every meeting. Al-Anon was like, I need to read every book. And part of the way that manifests for me is like, I then read no books, right? Because it's too daunting. If I can't do it by like this afternoon or, so it's been like the humanity of me, the James that's in here, that's kind of armored off because of all the survival techniques, is really a good person. And I found that in Al-Anon through, again, the steps. So with that sponsor, he developed some life stuff, right? We all go through things. And it was around that time that this young guy came into town, younger than the white-haired guy. I don't know if any of you have had this experience, but when he started opening his mouth, it was like my brain shut off, and I like leaned forward. And I was like, this guy is doing something different. I need to get to know this guy. I'm not a huge user of the word God shot, but that was my higher power. God, I use God because it's just shorter. That was God working in my life, right? That was me experiencing God, like that inner knowing of like, hey, I need to get close to this guy. And it just started to happen when my first sponsor moved out of the area. And that was about two and a half years into Al-Anon. And this guy was like, I was like, dude, I need help. This is working, but I am like just so uncomfortable by myself as I'd learned to take care of myself. I still can't figure out what color I like. I scare the crap out of myself constantly. Someone says something and I'm hanging on every word, right, about their life and then trying to like navigate it in to fit my life. Well, if their relationship is going bad, this one's gonna go bad, you know? It's just the craziness of head living, right? Al-Anon has taught me, actually Al-Anon, the experience of Al-Anon has brought me from living in my head to my heart. And the experience for me is the action of the steps with a sponsor. And so when I asked this guy, he's like, yeah, I'm available every other week for an hour to do step work in person. I'll see you at meetings and you can call me if there's an emergency, but emergencies don't happen every week or month. And I'm like, oh, that's great. You know, like I'm scared to as all get out because I'm like, this guy doesn't really like me. I'm really now in touch with like the self-esteem and self-worth, the struggle as a result of the family disease. And he encouraged me to start to try to continue to practice, like maybe think about other people a little bit. But that's a fine line for someone like me, because yesterday's Courage to Change was like, dude, I was so expert on everyone else's life. But the shoes and the color and how I liked my hair, and what restaurant and what food and what I want to do for a living. You know, a lot of my professional life to this point has been like, hey, you'd be good at that. Why don't you go try? And then I go try and they're like, yeah, they'll hire you. So at 42, I'm like really trying to figure out still, I'm on this journey. It used to be so dreadful and God, I'm behind. And this work with the sponsors, like I get to do this, right? Like there is gratitude there. I am not the person I thought I was. In very many ways, I am, but those survival instincts have a positive side, and I see, like, opposite of all these things that I would say are negative about myself. And that has been just a really gentle and subtle experience. Because I feel like that armor was so tight around my heart, and that came out in my fourth step. You know, I did it through the blueprint. That took freaking forever. Is that 10? 5 and 2. Cool. So that's 7. Yeah, cool. I'm confirming that. Yeah, okay. Wow, this time flies fast. That's awesome. And that was wild, like exploring aspects of myself, because again, I beat myself up, so like working to uncover like how I interact with love and money, and man, it's just been so fruitful to just admit, right? Like I uncovered that I'm an awaction guy, right? Like this was my survival. I don't even get into awareness. It's like, oh, action, right? Like I'm just beyond the like acceptance, and I miss out on a lot of life, a lot of the love, a lot of the positivity, because I'm just like, feel like I was always like this. And I uncovered that here in Al-Anon. So I very much got here thinking like, hey, I'm powerful, my life is not unmanageable. I'm not insane. I'm living life, I don't need to make any decisions, right? I certainly am not gonna look at myself fearlessly. I'm probably only gonna admit what I find to like some of it to my sponsor, because it just wasn't safe. And I had lots of examples in meetings of people sharing how they use the program to work with things like to start to date, to deal with their past, to deal with a work situation. And as I started to uncover this and look at the positives, as well as some of the things I'm not particularly thrilled about in my behavior, God was there the whole time. You know, I'm making this decision even though, you know, I'm doing the writing, I'm admitting it out loud. At this point, I'm starting to sponsor men in Al-Anon. I'm maybe talking a little here or there. I'm taking the commitment that no one sees. I'm taking commitments that people see. I'm part of a meeting that on the anniversary or birthday every year, the sponsor gets up and they give the sponsee a token at group level, give them a word, and then love on them, like verbally talk about how they're doing via Al-Anon, using Al-Anon principles. And it was so awkward when I was new, and I missed that so much being down here for 5 years. It was so loving and so supportive to hear sponsors. And this was a solid meeting that practiced all three legacies. That meeting is where I got to experience business meetings and like regular business meetings and show up and be that timid, shy guy and learn about the right participation, learning about like a minority opinion, like sharing that's not like what everyone else thinks, and watching how scared I am to like have a voice. And this is all coinciding as I'm going through the steps and I get to my amends. And in this journey at this point, like my friends are like, dude, you're a little different. What are you doing? Like you're a little softer. The edge, the pointiness isn't there as much. I'm like, yeah, I've been going to this Al-Anon thing. And the real big growth, in addition to looking at myself, both the negative and the positive, was then when I went out and made that list and like was praying about how to make amends. And as was shared last night, my amends with my parents is like amazing. Like I love spending time with them. They drive me nuts, but I know they're human. I'm not carrying around the past because I've written it down. I looked at my behaviors as it relates to how I show up in relationships, men, women, colleagues. When I went to my parents to make amends, it was suggested to me to own the behaviors that I had identified in writing and own the motivation and offer to acknowledge it, to want to make an amend, to maybe try to check in every once in a while and then see if there was anything I left off. In addition, I wrote them a card and read it to them about all the wonderful things like intellect, support, physical presence, showing up regularly physically, because that's not everyone's experience. And it was really touching. And I had another one more recently. Actually, I'll share this. About 4 years ago, I got a phone call around Christmas, and it was my first ever girlfriend in sixth grade that lasted like maybe, I think we got to like 6 days. But I've known her all these years, and she said, you know, yeah, my husband's drinking too much. You know, I don't know what to do. And I was like, wow, that means so much that you would call and share that with me. That sounds really tough. And she's like, yeah, I don't really know who else to reach out to. And I've watched you all these years because I was close with, I am close with their family today. And I was like, I go to this thing called Al-Anon, you know, like it helps me deal with the effects of alcoholism. I've gone to lots of open AA meetings. I've learned about alcoholism. It's not personal. They're sick. I've learned I have been affected. I am sick. I need something spiritual. And I kind of left it there. And I said, if you want any contacts, I know some women where you live. And, you know, it's not about whether she stayed or not, but that was, and she subsequently has stuck around, right? And about a month and a half ago, she called. 2 minutes? Cool. She said, my husband thought I should call you because you always listen to him. You don't give advice and you don't ask questions unless you're asked to ask questions. Can I run something by you? That may mean nothing to any of you, but those are the moments where I'm like, wow, God's working. Like, I'm like surprised. I'm like, did anyone else just see that? Like, like my heart is just open. It's more heart living. I'm not out here like letting everyone beat my heart up, but that armor for the most part is gone because of working the steps. Now, I've gone all through the steps. I've worked the traditions through action and through study. I've done service and done concept work. It's not about checking boxes, even though I like checking boxes. But I've tried a lot of different things in Al-Anon, and I like my life today, even though when I started, like, it's been uncomfortable. I've made decisions under the guises of self-care, but also under a lot of fear to kind of not do something for a period of time, and I'm trying to do it again, and it's freaking uncomfortable. I am scared. I'm not sleeping the best. So I'm very much a human, but I have structure and people in my life and a loving power that's been there the whole time. I've kind of been unconscious to it, right? And as I make those amends and I continue to take inventory, both good and bad, right? My sponsor got some, like, I'm freaking out, I can't, that. He's like, you might be selling yourself short on how much recovery you have, James, your ability to navigate, right? So the best part today is I have my own journey, but then I have these men that have said, hey, dude, what, can you help? And I've got to pass on what was freely passed to me through service, through one-on-one intimate interaction of sharing of the steps, through talking about how I built a relationship with a higher power that today is the reason I'm here in Al-Anon. So a lot of what I've shared today, and I heard that, and I'll wrap up, was sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but it always happens right now, whether it's happening quickly or it's happening slowly. And that's the best thing about Al-Anon is there's a high price of the family disease of alcoholism, and it's the present and my life. And I have a shot today, more of the time, to be engaged in my life, to be here with you, and to just be human and just be a member. Because I always wanted to be so much more. I don't have to carry around the past as much. So it's really great to be here. I want to thank you all for your participation and for, the opportunity today. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, James. Thank you for your service.